The Latin Mass Society of England and Wales is reporting an upsurge of interest in the Tridentine Mass following Pope Benedict's recent motu proprio, allowing for a wider use of the old rite. The Pope's decision to relax restrictions on the use of the Tridentine Mass, which was sidelined following the reforms of the Second Vatican Council, has also sparked something of a cottage industry in helping priests learn how to celebrate the old rite and track down appropriate vestments to wear. A training course at Oxford, as well as a website, a helpline and a selection of DVDs are among resources springing up for priests who want to celebrate this older rite, but simply lack the knowledge or experience to do so. My colleague Susie Hodges has been taking a closer look.
With a whole generation of priests having grown up only knowing the new rite, there's a manifest need for the clergy to learn the elaborate rituals of the Tridentine Mass. Apart from its most obvious difference of being celebrated in Latin rather than the local language, the Tridentine Mass has a host of rules, including which vestments can be used, what material they should be made of, where the candles should be placed on the altar, and the precise position of the priest's hands at various points throughout the Mass, to name but a few. To help young priests learn to celebrate the Tridentine Mass with knowledge and confidence, the Latin Society has organised a three-day major training conference at Oxford University later on this month. The Society's manager is John Medlin, and he said the response to their course was greater than expected, with more than 40 priests applying to take part.
The conference has aroused a great deal of interest, and even though we knew there was a large amount of subdued interest out in the country, we ourselves have been taken aback by the degree of response we've had.
Medling goes on to spell out the aims of this conference.
We should be trying to provide information and training across the board, so there will be intensive sessions on the history of the traditional rite, on its particular spirituality and its devotional aspects. And then there will be intensive hands-on sessions in which the priests actually practice the rubrics of the traditional rite, so that we hope to give them a complete taster, shall we say, of what it is to celebrate the traditional rite, so that they go away from the conference with enough knowledge and with enough backup material by way of books and training notes and so on to enable them to celebrate certainly the low mass in the traditional rite more or less immediately on their return to their parishes.
One of the keynote speakers at the training conference in Oxford is Dr. Alcuin Reid, a liturgy scholar and author of a 2005 book published by Ignatius Press entitled The Organic Development of the Liturgy, that has a preface written by Pope Benedict when he was Cardinal Ratzinger. Reid told me more about the main theme of his book.
The main point is that throughout the history of the liturgy has developed gradually. There haven't been sudden changes imposed by authority, but such changes as there have been, and there certainly have been many, have been gradual over the generations, over the centuries, and that overall there is a continuity in liturgical development.
So what exactly is the future Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger, saying in his preface to Alcuin's book?
He was saying that the liturgy is first and foremost about God. And he said, I think I'm quoting accurately, that the most imminent danger of our age is that we can forget God, and that the liturgy needs to be focused on God. And of course, that's the theme of his desire expressed in Sacramentum Caritatis as Pope. It's also partially behind his freeing up the use of the more ancient use of Mass. The Catholic worship is about the worship of God, and sometimes in recent years we've forgotten that. Also in the preface to my book, Cardinal Ratzinger spoke of the liturgical movement of the 20th century and how its hopes and desires for a thorough renewal of liturgical spirituality, of liturgical feeling in the Catholic Church, were somewhat frustrated by what happened in the late 1950s and 1960s and in the coming decades. And he said, in fairly strong words, he said that he himself, who was a young man, was part of that liturgical movement and had great hopes, looked back and looked and saw what they had hoped for lying in ruins. And I think we can understand that young man who grew up, who was part of the reform of the Second Vatican Council, an expert at the council, who was a young priest and then a pastoral bishop and then called to Rome. Looking back over those years, he was very disappointed with the way things went. And now as Pope, gently, moderately, as is his way, is trying to sow the seeds or lay the foundations perhaps for a new liturgical revival. Some people even say, and use his phrase from his book in 2000, The Spirit of the Liturgy, you know, possibly he's sowing the seeds of a new liturgical movement, where in the Church of the 21st century, yes, we'll have different forms of the celebration of Mass, but they'll all be celebrated in that liturgical spirit, which was part of the original liturgical movement, part of what the Second Vatican Council wanted, and very much part of what themes Pope Benedict XVI is trying to call the Church to again today.
So, what are the qualities that are attracting so many people, especially the young, to a growing interest in the Tridentine Mass? Medlin again.
Well, both priests and faithful tend to find in the traditional rite of Mass a much greater sense of the supernatural, a much greater sense of encounter with mystery, a much greater depth of doctrine and spirituality. That's not to say, of course, for one moment that the new rite is necessarily deficient in those areas, but simply to say that there is a large and a growing number of people and priests out in the wider world who specifically find in the traditional rite a special way of access to those things.
That view of the Tridentine Mass having more sense of mystery and the supernatural is shared by Reed.
I think if one looks at how they're usually celebrated or perceived, the more modern rite can seem a little bit more imminent and a little less transcendent, though of course the Holy Father in Sacramentum Caritatis has tried to remind us that the modern rites need to be celebrated in a very godly or godward manner, whereas the older rites tend to be, simply because of the rituals, because it's usually celebrated facing east and so on, more transcendent in its orientation. The Latin, of course, helps that as well.
The use of Latin to celebrate the Tridentine Mass is probably the most obvious first difference between the old and new rites. But given that Latin is often no longer spoken by priests of the younger generation, how daunting is it for them to take on board a completely new language when celebrating the liturgy? Medlin again.
Well, in fact, some seminaries do still teach the Latin language, and a good number of the younger priests have taught themselves a sufficiency of Latin as they've developed their interest in the traditional rite over the past few years. We will be providing further sessions in Latin, remedial sessions, as you might say, in Latin, so that all those priests attending the conference should have sufficient grasp of the language to enable them to understand the rubrics and to understand the actual texts of the Mass. At the end of the day, you don't need to be fluent in the Latin language as such. You don't need to be able to discuss the weather, for instance, in Latin, to have a sufficiency to be able to offer the traditional rite.
Apart from the question of Latin, what about the vestments and ecclesial accessories required for celebrating the old rite? Reed says many are similar to those used for the new rite, but not all of them.
The traditional use are really very similar to the ones in the modern use. Perhaps some people would associate a certain shape, you know, the squarer shape of chasuble, of vestment, with the older form of Mass. That's not necessarily the case. There's no rule saying that can't be used in the modern form. And perhaps the big difference is the maniple, the vestment which is worn on the left sleeve, a little bit like a handkerchief, a towel. That was made optional after the Second Vatican Council and then not included in the Missal of Paul VI. That's the only major difference in the vesting of the priest. The older form of Mass, you would often find, of course, that people would tend to use vestments which are silk, and there's a rule saying that vestments should be made of silk and so on. and their decorations would probably be more classical.
In the wake of the Second Vatican Council, Medlin says many of the vestments and other items were thrown out or stashed away in cupboards of parish churches or even stored by the faithful. He says there's now a determined effort to track down these items, and new vestment makers are springing up to meet the demand.
It is a very sad truth that after the Second Vatican Council, a large number of vestments and ecclesiastical items were indeed thrown away. But it is also the truth that a large quantity of these items were in fact preserved, either by the clergy themselves putting things away in cupboards in the parish sacristies, or by the faithful rescuing these items and keeping them carefully in their private homes, in some cases for decades. So there is more of these sorts of items currently available than you might think. At the same time, there are now specialist companies who exist to track down these items and to sell them on to priests or to parishes interested in equipping themselves to celebrate the traditional rite. And indeed, there is now such a demand that some of these companies are now commissioning new items, which are often made by some of the younger religious communities.
Reed explains how, in addition to the vestments question, the old rite laid out elaborate rules on how the priest should move and the gestures he should make during the course of the Mass.
There are many rules, and perhaps that's a little daunting for somebody, perhaps priests or people involved in preparing the liturgy who might consider becoming involved. That might seem a little daunting. I think one can get bogged down in too many of the details, and yes, you know, one does have to learn certain things in terms of how to behave, how to make ritual gestures. Language needs to be learned, and so on. That's one of the reasons we're having this conference in Oxford, to begin that process. The differences, everything is part of a whole body of ritual developed over the centuries of the Church's tradition, which, once one is familiar with those rituals, they take on a form of praying which is perhaps very different to the way the modern rite is celebrated, which, as I say, can seem much more practical, perhaps, and much more modern.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Another key difference, says Reed, concerns the role of the priest himself during the old rite.
The rite has a certain regulation of the priest. The priest's personality is sublimated, is immersed into the ritual, and that he's not really the central focus of attention, but that the whole rite, including what the priest does with his hands, with his eyes, with his voice, so on, is leading the person to the worship of Almighty God through the rite, through the sacrifice of the Mass, rather than, as sometimes happens in the modern rite, the personality of the priest taking over.
As we learnt earlier, several dozen priests from England and Wales have signed up to attend this training conference on how to celebrate the Tridentine Mass. But does Medlin have any idea how much interest there is among the Catholic clergy in general in Britain in celebrating this form of the liturgy?
Well, to be frank, your guess on that matter is as good as mine. It is unfortunately the case that up until the motu proprio, a large number of priests felt wary of indicating to their bishops that they had an interest in the traditional rite, and therefore they also felt wary of indicating to organisations such as the Latin Mass Society they had such an interest. I suspect, it's very difficult to put an accurate figure on this, I suspect the figure, particularly amongst the younger priests, of those with an interest is between 10 and 15%. That's not to say that all these young priests wish to move across to celebrate in the traditional rite exclusively, of course not. It does mean they wish to know more about the rite and to be fluent in it, and therefore to be bi-ritual priests who are able to fulfil the requests of the faithful made to them for reverent and devout celebrations either in the new or in the old rite.
But you say there is a growing interest, and that was even before the motu proprio came out.
Oh, indeed, yes. The interest began to grow noticeably in the final years of Pope John Paul II's reign. It began to grow exponentially in the first 2 years of Pope Benedict's reign, and now it's moved on to a new plane again after the motu proprio.
Pope Benedict's motu proprio, relaxing the restrictions on celebrating the Tridentine Mass, makes clear that the two rites can coexist side by side,
And according to Reed, the fact that there is nothing obligatory about the papal decree is reassuring for the faithful.
Most of the faithful, I think, are quite happy because the Pope hasn't insisted that what's happening in their parish churches on Sunday mornings is going to change. He's not imposed anything on anybody. He's permitted those who wish to have the older form of Mass to have it more freely, certainly, but he's not insisting on anything happening which will change the way people wish to worship. There's been a lot of discussion, of course, in various Catholic journals and amongst clergy, but that's more at the theoretical level, and I think some of that has missed the point, that the Pope hasn't insisted that the old Mass be used. He's simply allowing it where people